Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Two or three are gathered in your name. You're there in the midst, Lord God. So we know and we have a guarantee that you are here. So, Father God, we pray, walk amongst the people. Walk amongst us. Touch us, Lord God. Let every single person that came to Nations Church today walk out changed for the nations, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for everything you've done so far. We thank you for what you're about to do, and we thank you for what you're going to do in the future. In Jesus' awesome name, and the people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Go ahead, grab your seat. Well, don't grab it. Sit on it. Amen. So good to be back. Praise God. No one talks back in this church. I forgot. This is the silent service. This is the Christian service. You're all the religious people in this room right now. Is that it? Praise God. Come on, folks. Don't get quiet on me. I'm sure you weren't quiet over breakfast. This is just another meal. You know what I mean? I'm sure some of you talk with your mouth full. I was watching some people at the restaurant today while I was having breakfast. They were talking. This guy's egg was flying out one side. Bacon was flying out the other side. And I figured that's the way you really enjoy a good meal. You talk while you're eating. Amen? My father was very English, and he said, no talking while you're eating. And that doesn't work for me. I like to talk while I'm having a meal. Amen? And so today we're having a meal together, so let's talk. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Awesome stuff. You know, in Christianese, you say amen if you like what I'm saying. If you're not quite there yet, just say good stuff. Yeah. All right, just say, yeah, that'll work. That'll work. You know, you can always tell when someone's a new Christian because they say, that was a really good speech you did earlier on. You know, whereas the more dignified religious person, they go, that was a wonderful sermon, brother. You know what I mean? So I don't mind. Whichever one you go with, that works for me. Is that okay? Praise God. It is really good to be back. You know, we did do a swap, and I have the privilege of living in Malaysia, but I travel around a fair bit now. My role is global. For those that don't know me, it's probably really irrelevant to know me at the moment, but hopefully we get to know each other later on. Please, if I did meet you last time I was here, don't be upset if I forgot your name. Okay? If I call you champion, it's because number one, I think you're a champion, and number two, I have no idea what your name is, okay? So if you say, do you remember me, there's a high probability I'll remember your face, but name, you know what I'm saying. So just say your name, it just helps me out. Is that okay? You know, I am really excited about Easter. Easter is coming up, and it's celebrated. You know, the thing I do love about it, and my wife and kids have already put in their order for Easter eggs, because Easter eggs are not popular over in Malaysia. Number one, because they don't last. You know, in the sun, they just melt. It'd be just Easter goop. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be anything else. And so they've already put in the order of how many eggs that I'm supposed to bring back, and how many people know it's a copious amount of eggs. And they don't want the cheap stuff, man. They want the real deal stuff. They want the red tulip or the Cadbury. You know what I'm saying? Not this Candy Lane stuff or whatever else it is that they sell at cheap as chips. Now, listen, if you're buying those, God bless you. All right, okay. That's just sugar, man. So anyway, but I get excited about Easter because I feel like it's the opportunity to get people into the house of God that never will come. You know what I mean? Those ones that feel like it's there. It's really the time you should go to church. Christmas and Easter. And so, you know, but God just needs one opportunity. One opportunity to get him. If we get him in here, he'll get him in there. Yeah. Amen? We kind of work in a partnership. We can't save anybody. Yes. But God saves everybody. Yeah. But what we can do is get him in here. Yeah. Dare them, man. Tell them you'll give them a six-pack of hot cross buns if they come. Tell them bacon's on you for the rest of the year. Whatever it takes. You know what I'm saying? Just whatever it takes to get him into the house of God and then let God do his incredible saving. Amen? That's the way to do it. You know, I love it. You know, even throughout Kingdom City globally, we're going crazy on inviting people along to Easter. We're believing for over 500 decisions for the weekend globally. You know, set yourself a goal. Set yourself, believe for that person, that hard nugget to get saved. Amen? Come on, man. You know, we got to do this stuff. You know, we aim for nothing, you're going to hit it every time. And Jesus didn't just tell you to pray for the lost. You know, in fact, there's no scripture in the Bible that actually tells you to pray for souls. Isn't that amazing? It actually says pray for laborers. I mean, it's a mute prayer. If you pray for salvation, do you think God's really saying no? God, give us souls. And he goes, nah. No, I don't feel like it. Jesus, what about you? Nah, not today. Holy Spirit, no, seriously, I want a break. How many people know God always wants people saved? He wants them saved more than you want them saved. Yeah. But what he wants to, you to pray for is, God, make me a laborer. Yeah. Give me the ability to invite someone. So, you know, today I'm really just going to preach on evangelism. Is that okay? You know, I was saying to Joel as we were driving along and I was drinking my double shot espresso, which, by the way, was exceedingly good. I just want to point that out, mate. It was a good coffee. I was talking about the fact of like this, you know, so many people think that, you know, where Ephesians says this, that he gave some to be apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, and evangelists. We think that it's the role of the evangelist to win the lost. It's actually not, biblically. It's the role of an evangelist is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. All right? Because the gift of, it's not a gift of evangelism, it's a gift called an evangelist. There's a big difference. Does that make sense, right? Just to give you, it's like Pastor Kenley is, he's the gift of a pastor. He doesn't have a pastoral gift. He is a pastor. He is a gift. Does that make sense? And he's not even a gift from the Holy Spirit. He's a gift from Jesus. Because it says he, Jesus, gave them as gifts to the church. So you have a gift as a pastor in Ken and Chrissy Lee. Does that make sense? Right? They have pastoral giftings, but they are a gift of a pastor. And their role as a pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, right? Now, predominantly my gift, what I am is an evangelist. That's who I am. But my role is not to win people to Jesus Christ. My role as a Christian is to win people to Jesus Christ. But my role as an evangelist is to equip you to become soul winners. Does that make sense? Are you cool? Now, I know some of you still want to argue with me on the theology. Well, you're wrong. I'll say, it's okay, just feel free to be wrong. You're totally wrong. You're 100% wrong. When you got saved, God was thinking of someone else he could reach through you. Yeah. Amen? It's like if this was a fire station right now and you were fixing the hoses, your role was to look after the hoses, your role was to look after the truck, your role was to look after the office equipment, your role was to look after the engine. That's your role in the firehouse. But your job as a fireman is to put out fires. Yeah. Okay, praise God. Praise God, I've got some of you nodding, some of you going, yeah, whatever, mate. I'm a prophet. All right. Well, you didn't know I was going to say that, did you? Okay. Hey, just warming you guys up, man, okay? All right, just come on now. Some of you will get that in about 3 minutes. Praise God. My message, thank you. Hey, it was good stuff, wasn't it? It was pretty good. I thought you said get stuff, but I thought, no, I just really said good stuff. Okay, I was going to say, I've only just started. Seriously, I'll get stuff later on. Okay. My message is really called All for One. It's a simple message, and it's found in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15, verse 4 to 7 in the New King Jimmy. All right, you can call him Jimmy if he's a friend. If you don't know him still, you call him James. But he's a friend of mine, so we call him Jimmy. Luke 15, verse 4 to 7 says this. Jesus speaking to a bunch of shepherds. He says this, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Jesus is talking about losing one sheep. And what I love about it is just the way he's actually speaking this, so matter of fact. I don't know how you see scripture. When I read scripture, I kind of put myself in the field. I kind of put myself behind a camera. I kind of watch, I'm watching what's going on, man. I'm one of the shepherds sitting there listening to Jesus talk to me. You know, that's how I see it. I don't just read it as a text, but I kind of put myself in a movie. Does that make sense? And so I'm imagining Jesus sitting there going, hey, boys, listen, come on. I mean, come on, which one of you, if you got 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, who doesn't go and leave the 99 and look for the one? And they're all going, yeah, of course. I'm thinking to myself, no. 99 still looks like 100. Come on, doesn't it? Come on, seriously, 99 still looks like 100, and wait 9 months, there'll be 100 again. Oh, come on, we're the adult service, right? It'll be 100 soon enough. You know what I mean? Seriously, he's saying it like it's a matter of fact. Like it's obvious, duh. You got 100 sheep, one goes missing, you leave the 99, you go after the one. And I'm thinking, you're saying this like this is common practice. But what I realize is it's not. 99 still looks like 100. In fact, it's pretty good. I mean, you sit and go, nah, it looks about the same, but the good shepherd goes, nah, Ethel's missing. If your name's Ethel, great, you know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? The good shepherd goes, no, something's not right here. Something's not right here, someone's missing. What about you? Do you know who's missing in this place right now? I wonder who used to sit next to you but doesn't sit next to you anymore. Not because they moved chairs, but because they moved. They left. See, Jesus is speaking about this whole ideology of like the good shepherd knows. The good shepherd knows that one has gone missing. He's speaking about it like it's the standard. He's not even saying the over and above good shepherd. He says, which of you doesn't notice? Do you know what I've realized is I wonder how many people you know that used to be a part of this house that didn't move to another church, that didn't move to the mission field, they just left. And we've got to get that heartbeat again. I don't mind this silence. This silence is a good silence because maybe you're thinking about the person that you know belongs here. And that's cool. We'll press that button a little bit longer because my family is still going to hell. So only my younger brother, my mum and dad are up with Jesus now, but they only got saved just before they passed away. But the rest of my family are going to hell. They're going to a lost eternity. And if you're sitting here being offended, but don't be offended by that. I'm not saying it in a vicious way. That's where they're going. Because they don't know Jesus. And they're lost. My older brother used to go to church. In fact, he used to go to church before I went to church. Now he doesn't go anywhere. I found out just recently he listens to my podcast. So maybe there's something happening. I don't know. But he's lost. Do we miss them? What's the point of printing out these flyers? If all you do is leave them on your fridge. Or you find him in your car after Easter. Don't even take it. Leave it to someone that's going to hand it out to somebody. I'm not telling you off. What is the point of spending money printing out invitations if no one's invited? What's the point? Hey, am I making sense to you? Jesus is speaking and he's saying, which one of you? I love the passion of these shepherds because I can imagine them going, yeah, duh, of course, I'm out, I go. If so-and-so's missing, I've got to go straight away. See, there's something about that. Do we actually genuinely have a heart that's broken for people? It's not just the pastor's role to fall in love with people. The most dangerous prayer you'll ever pray is, God, break my heart for people. It's a scary prayer. That's what made me move to Malaysia. I went over there, I fell in love with Mamak first and foremost. Some of you don't know what mamak is. Mamak just translates to heaven. The best food in the world is found in Malaysia. I mean, in the promised land, it's a land flowing of, milk and honey. Malaysia's flowing with teh tarik and curry. Okay, now some of you don't know what that means. It has pulled tea, teh tarik and curry. Obviously, you should know what curry is, right? But the thing is I fell in love with that country, but I remember being in the Pan Pacific Hotel in 1999, getting on my knees after meeting with some pastors in Malaysia, and I said, God, break my heart for these people. And that's what he did. And 13 years later, we moved over. But it was heartbreaking. You pray those prayers, it's dangerous, because all of a sudden you find yourself weeping over people. It's embarrassing. You have to wear sunglasses everywhere. Because you're looking at people and seeing them as Jesus sees them. See, do you have that heartbeat again? Because this is what he's talking about. We have an opportunity coming up in 3 weeks' time. But if you don't have a love for the lost, what's the point? If you're here in this place right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we love you. Jesus is in love with you. And if I could just flick you around, if you could swap bodies with me for a moment to understand what it feels like to be loved by a God that isn't set full of rules and regulations, but is full of principles on how to get the most out of life. You believe that God just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can strike you down. You've been sold a lie. It's not our God. And in a little while, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and know him. And invite him into your life. He won't force his way into your life. Even though he's all powerful, the one thing he's given you power over him is to reject him. Yeah. But you can accept him today. Yeah. Does that make sense, folks? So I want to talk to you about this scripture. Are we okay? Yeah. Is this right? Yeah. Praise God. I, you know what? I do want you to think about that one, what the whole time I'm speaking about, the one that you know that's gone astray. I want you to be thinking about it because this is what it says. He says this, which one of you, having if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it, right? Number one, we got to learn how to leave again. Right? Now, I'm not telling you to leave the church. I'm talking about this. You've got to learn to get uncomfortable again. You know what I realized in Christianity is all of a sudden as we grow in God, we surround ourselves with Christians 24/7. We're in Bible college, we're in Bible school, we're in Bible lessons, we're in Bible fellowships, we're in Bible blah, 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 and we've got nothing to do with unsaved anymore. We've left the world even though we're still living in it. You know what I mean? Come on, folks. You know what? I work in a Christian environment. Well, you'd hope so. I work for Kingdom City. Hopefully all the staff are saved. You know what I mean? But you understand. And I got to tell you, you know, the worst part about that is you can get really comfortable. Because you're never on the edge. You know what I mean? But I remember growing up, I got born again in 1986 and I was working in a factory. You didn't even say hello without swear words. Come on, folks. You never said, hi, how are you? You went, beep, 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 hey, go on. You know what I mean? And the guy go, beeping, okay. You know what I'm saying, right? It was like full of subtitles. It was disgusting. The thing is this, we talked about crazy stuff. And all of a sudden you become born again and you become aware of the language. But you know what? You don't hide in a corner going, oh, Jesus, protect me, protect me. No, you realize, man, this is who we are. The Bible says that Jesus sat around and sinners gathered to hear him speak. He was in those areas. Do you understand? And some of us, we've got to leave again. We've got to get uncomfortable. We go to the Christian hairdresser now for two reasons. Number one, you want discount. Oh, you sneaky little Christians. Come on, man. Don't say we don't play that game. As soon as you see that business card with the fish sticker, you go, oh, you're a Christian brother. So am I. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Any chance of discount for a fellow believer? So wrong. So wrong. Come on, I just trod on someone's toes there. It's like, come on, mate. Oh, so you're a brother. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. So what? Pay full price. Anyway. But the thing is, this is, we surround ourselves. We go to Christian hairdressers. We go to restaurants that are owned by Christian friends. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves never getting uncomfortable anymore. And we don't know how to handle a normal conversation. We don't know how to handle it when someone swears in front of us and they're not swearing at you, they just swear. And all of a sudden, we don't know how to handle it. Come on, folks. Am I making sense? We've got to get uncomfortable again. You got to place it. Now, you don't have to go clubbing to meet sinners. Oh, Pastor Matt said, I've got to get uncomfortable. So I'm going to... Yeah, Jesus. And do it. No. Don't. Do not get into that nonsense. All right? You don't need to go there. There's sinners working at the local petrol station. There's probably sinners in this room right now. And you've come to church for years. Praise God. Do you understand? You don't need to go. You don't need to go that far. But when was the last time you got uncomfortable? You got around people that don't speak in tongues. They argue with you and they do all this. They test you. Does that make sense? And they don't have an understanding of all this sort of stuff. There, I've got to tell you, friends, we've got to get ourselves back out there again. We keep on telling everybody, come. Jesus said, go. Come on, man, 2/3 of God's name is go. The last third is duh. You know what I'm saying? You got to go. Is it too much? You got to go back out where the people are, man. Some of you go to a restaurant, the same restaurant you go to every Sunday, and you order the same meal. They already got your meal prepared as you're driving up. But instead of looking at the lost soul, you still look at the menu. And you make the same. They've already written your order down. Look at the human being. Hi, how you doing? Even if they don't say anything, who cares? They might just say something. Haven't you had a complete stranger? I've sat at a bus stop once and you say, because Australians, we say, hi, how you going? Now, we don't even care how you're going. It's just how we say hi. And the worst part is someone will tell you.
hi, how you going? They go, well, actually, but, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. It's just, it's the way I say hello. But no, sorry, don't take offense. I don't care. Come on, folks. You have a complete stranger starts telling you about their week because you asked them. It's bizarre. You know what that tells me is some people want to talk. When was the last time you got uncomfortable? When was the time you left your comfort zone? For some of you, you're leaving your comfort zone is going to the family do. Oh, come on, folks. I'm speaking to the right people here, man. I lived in this country for 39 years. Actually, no, sorry, I lived in this country for 48 years. My God, I'm old. Anyway. But you know what? We used to have to pray before we went to our family dues. It's like, oh, Jesus, help me, man. Help me not to punch my brother in the mouth, man. Help me not to lose the plot and manifest. You know what I mean? Just help. Give me some sort of grace here. And it'd be like, you know, be driving the whole time. You got a machete under my mama. You drive around the block three times. I can't go in yet. You know, because you just see one of your family members that you know is going to drive you crazy. Because they'll get drunk and then they'll start talking about Christianity. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Yes, oh, shut up, idiot. Come on, folks. Can we just be honest here? And they'll start saying, you know, I pray, and all that. Start talking about when they're not drunk, they mock you. And drives you crazy. And all you're doing is praying for an excuse to get out there. It was good when you first had young kids because you could blame them. Just say, oh, you know, Emmy's getting tired now. She looks wide awake. No, trust me, she's really tired. She's really tired. No, she looks like, no. So you pinch your kid. Ah, see, look, she's upset. She's upset. We've got to go. I'm so sorry. We've got to go. For some of you, that's uncomfortable. Come on, man. You dread Christmas. You dread these times because it's where the family gets together and you know it's going to be crazy. You've got to get uncomfortable again, my friend. How are you supposed to be light if you're not influencing anybody? And we live the whole time with a shade over ourselves. You need to understand, folks, when was the last time you left? When was the last time you got uncomfortable? When was the last time you got desperate for that stuff and you actually put yourself in a place where it actually feels a little bit agitated? We've got to get back into that zone again, my friends. Listen to me. We've got to get back into that zone. You know, a lot of times now, I'm looking at different ways that I can meet different people. Obviously, I meet a lot of people that during my going out and eating, you know, makan, I always meet new people at different restaurants. But I started taking grab taxis every now and again. Now, I don't need to take a grab taxi. I've got a car. But at least you're going to work. I'm going to go in a bit later. I'll do some work from one place, and then I'll catch a grab. And I'm getting to have these conversations. Because the grab taxi guy will always ask me, hey, so what do you do? And then I just got to work out a great way of saying what I do. Because if I say pastor, a lot of them don't get it. So I say, you know what? I'm into life insurance. Or fire protection. You know? Intergalactic. You know, just make up something crazy, right? But you start sparking different conversations. Or when I say to them, you know, I say, you want to go to Kingdom City Hub? What's Kingdom City? I say, oh, it's a church. And then we start talking. And it just brings up amazing conversations. Just the other day, right, I caught a grab to church a Sunday morning. Lisa had to go in a bit earlier than me. I came in a bit later. And I was preaching that day. I was preaching last week. And I caught a grab. And the guy picks me up. And he's really quiet at first. So I sat in the front seat. And he's sitting there. I've never seen a guy sit so close to the steering wheel before. He's like, driving like this. He's like, dude, what's going on, man? Is this protection, you know, protection of your steering wheel? I don't know. Anyway, then finally he just starts speaking. And then he says, we start talking about a whole bunch of different stuff there. And it was only a 9-minute drive. But you know what happened is afterwards he texts me. And he goes, hey, I'm the Suzuki guy that drove you. I really enjoyed talking with you. Would there be a chance of catching up with you again? And he puts for a beer icon or coffee. So I thought, well, I'll choose the coffee. But I'd love to catch up again. Would that be possible? And he says, my name's so-and-so, I'm married, I have two kids, blah, blah, blah. But he just enjoyed it. It was a very simple conversation. But God put you in a place. I could have just been like everybody else, sat quiet, looked at my phone, not talked to the human being, because it can get uncomfortable. But just from a 9-minute conversation, it actually brought a connection. That who knows what's going to happen from it. Amen? Come on, folks, does this make sense? You know what? We got to leave again. Are we okay? Is this all right? It says this: which one of you doesn't leave the 99 and go after the one until he finds it? Yeah. See, number one, you got to learn to leave, but number two, you got to get an until in your spirit. Yeah. Right? Until. It doesn't say which one goes and searches for a day, but if he can't find it, that's it. I tried. I gave it a go. I prayed. You understand, it's not about just once off. It's about going back again and again and again and again. See, we've got to start getting an until spirit again in our lives, about giving people an opportunity to turn you down regularly. You ask someone to come to church once and they said, no, don't go, religious persecution, I'm never going to ask again. No, ask them next week. I have a friend right now that if I still saw him, I haven't seen him for a number of years, but every time I saw him, he would offer me a beer. Now, I gave up drinking in 1986. I gave up drinking, right? I stopped drinking. I used to drink a lot of alcohol, copious amounts, in fact. I called myself a social drinker. The problem was I was ridiculously sociable. And I gave up drinking. One day, I'm sitting there about to have my favorite drink, and this voice in my head says, I'm all the spirit you need now. And so I gave up drinking, right? Just gave up drinking. Just that simple, right? That's how it happened for me. And so, but my mate, I used to be his drinking partner. So every time he came to my house, he'd bring beer. And he'd go, Matt, you want a beer? And I go, no, I don't drink. And he goes, okay. Next time he comes around my house, Matt, you want a beer? And sometimes he'd leave a six-pack in my fridge to see if he could tempt me to cross over. And the funny thing is, he came to my house six times in the next 5 or 6 weeks, and he said, you got any beer in the fridge? I go, yeah, sure. And he go, really, you got beer? So he thought I was drinking again, but it was just his six-pack. But as soon as it ran out, there was no more beer. Do you understand, right? But the thing is, this is, he would ask me every time he saw me if I wanted a beer. He had more faith to convert me back to alcoholism than I did for asking him to come to church. Because I asked him to come to church once. He said no, and I go, that's it. I'm never going to try again, man. Come on, folks. Give people an opportunity to turn you down on a regular basis. Does this make sense? You know what I mean? Do you have an until spirit? When you go into a site, when you go into a store and go to buy something, and the salesman who has no understanding of how to sell comes up and says, can I help you there? How many people know that's the worst line? Yeah. As if you're a salesman here, never ask that question. It is the dumbest line. Sales 101, never ask, can I help you? Because our automated response is, no thanks, just looking. Yeah. Come on, isn't it? Yeah. Even though you want to buy something, you still say, no thanks, just looking. I used to be a salesman. And I would never say, can I help you there? I'd always say, hi, how are you today? And people would still say, no thanks, just looking. And I go, I didn't ask you. I said, how are you today? And they went, I'm fine. I go, what are you looking for? Oh, hey, see, straight in like that. Sales 101. But if you ask a silly question, you're going to get a stupid answer. We say no thanks, just looking all the time. You've said it probably a dozen times this week to some salesperson. Hey, how you doing? I said, no thanks, just looking. Do you see the salesman go, why? Oh, rejection. I quit. No, no, no. He understands it's part of the process. When was the last time you had an until spirit and kept on searching for that person until? Yeah. Come on, man. The shepherd, we don't even know how long he had to go for. Yeah. But he kept on looking until he finds him. Yeah. So you just got to keep on asking. I asked my brother to come to church so many times. Hey, Colin, you want to come to church? No. What about this week? No. What about next week? No. What about this week? No. What about this week? No. No. Do you want to come now? No. What about this week? We're going to crusade? No. Got a guest speaker? No. What about this? No, no. Finally he said, if I say yes, will you shut up? I said, yes. And he goes, okay, I'll come. Good. Just got to keep on asking, man. Do you do that? Do you do that, my friends? Listen, we've got to get the until spirit again. Keep on asking that person. Keep on going after them. Keep on chasing after them. You've got to get that until spirit. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. In other words, he's got to have he had an amazing passion. He came after seeking, not just preaching, seeking. Looking for the one. Looking for them. You got to pray for these. You can pray for divine encounters. There are people that I'm part of a church that's grown exponentially. But there's times where I just sit there and go, man, I haven't seen so-and-so for a long time. And I start praying. There's times where I just go, God, give me an encounter with that person. I want to see them. I want to bump into them. And sometimes I'm in Digimall or I'm in Wanatama, right? One of the largest shopping centers in the Southern Hemisphere, man. And you can get lost. You can celebrate your birthday in that shopping mall, man. It takes like 3 days to walk around the place. But I'll be praying, God, God, I want to bump into so-and-so. And then all of a sudden I'm going down an escalator and they're coming up. And I go, hey, you. And you're sitting going, oh, pastor. And they're kind of trying to work out how this thing goes faster. Because they're waiting for me to go, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, throw oil on them. And all sorts of stuff there. But I go, man, we miss you. I remember saying that to this person. I'm coming out of a chicken rice shop. Ipo Chicken Rice. Established 1977, huh? Ah, bagus. So I'm coming out of this place, chicken rice. Just had a just delectable piece of chicken rice, man. Roast. I never go for the steamed. I like the roast. Just want to point that out to any of you guys. If you eat steamed, we'll pray for you afterwards. Roast is always better. So I'm coming out of the chicken rice shop, and as I'm walking out, this guy's coming in. He goes, he looks at me, and I face is kind of familiar. This is in the early days, and I looked at him, and he looks at me, and he goes, Pastor Matt. I said, hey, how you doing? I don't know who he is. Of course, champion. Hey, champion, how you doing? He goes, oh, yeah, you're not too bad. And then you can see him fidgeting. I said, oh, so how's life? And he goes, oh, yeah, I haven't been around. Haven't been going to church for a fair while. I said, oh, man. I said, we miss you. And I said, you know what? God misses you. And he just looked at me. He goes, you miss us? I said, yeah. Why wouldn't we? The next week, he was back at church. And he's never missed since. But you know what? You just have those encounters. So they're waiting for you to sit there and preach your conviction. It's not your job to convict anybody. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. Yeah. Stop telling everybody what they're doing wrong. Start looking at yourself. Yeah. But love on them. Yeah. Love on them. Yeah. You know, just simply go, man, we miss you. Man, I haven't seen you around for ages. Whoa, we miss your face. Yeah. You see people going, you missed me. They're waiting for you to get angry at them. Instead, you love them. Yeah. You blindside them with love. And also these people come back, but you've got to get that until spirit. Does this make sense to anybody here? Have you prayed for those divine encounters? Have you prayed that God gives you an opportunity to pursue after these people? God, give me favor with this person. I'm going after them again. I'm thinking of the people that we've been inviting to our Easter weekend in KL and globally. I'm going to be in Singapore. We're launching our new building in Singapore on April the 1st. It is no April Fool's, it's real. Capital Theatre, it's an icon in Singapore. And so I'm going to be launching the service there in this brand new place. But you know, we've got this full weekend. We've got Friday, Good Friday services. It's not even a public holiday over in KL, but we get thousands of people turn up. Thousands of people turn up. Then we've got baptism services on Saturday everywhere, and then Sunday, full services everywhere. You know, it's just absolutely crazy. But I'm just thinking, okay, so we've got these cards, and we're inviting people, and I'm looking at all these different people that are trying to invite, inviting people from the local Mummock, inviting people from the Banana Leaf, inviting people from all these different places that I go to and frequent, you know, and just ask them these questions. And I'm just praying that I'm also praying for those ones that I haven't seen around for a while. I want to seek them out again. Does this make sense? Begin to call them by name. We've got to get a desperation for them. And it's amazing because all of a sudden, even as we've been praying and as the whole church has been praying for this, that we're praying for those ones to come back, we've already started seeing people come back into the house of God, and it isn't even Easter yet. And it's almost like, you're not supposed to be here yet. You've got 3 more weeks. But it's amazing. We get that passionate spirit that goes after them until. Is this okay, folks? It says this, when he finds them, he curses them. You stinking sheep. I've been looking for you for years. You've had me worried sick. Chop! Lamb chops on the barbecue. Come on, man. This is what we think is our job to do. Tell them what they mean. You're back into sin, didn't you? Sinner! Always saw it in you. Yeah, good job, Satan. It's a terrible thing. We're pulling people apart. What does the shepherd do when he finds the sheep? It says, he puts them on his shoulders. Right? We've got to learn to carry people again. Come on, folks. The third point is carry. It says he puts them on his shoulders, rejoicing. Rejoicing. Not rebuking. Rejoicing. You don't need to tell someone that knew God what they're doing wrong. Come on, folks. Okay, is this okay? Some of you are just way too quiet. So if I'm pressing your button, thank God. Yeah. You're not your job. I love you enough to tell you, and I've been a pastor for a long time. You're terrible at it. It's not your job. If I'm leading a leader that's going astray, then I have a I have a duty to warn them and bring discipleship into their life. But the Holy Spirit's job is to bring the conviction. Do you understand? And we think that it's our job. It's like, back off, Holy Spirit, I got this. You're living in sin. Hey? Did it work for you? You need to understand, we've got to start rejoicing when we see these guys again. We've got to rejoice. It says he put them on his shoulders and carried them. Again, we don't even know how long he had to carry the sheep for. Does that mean it could have got uncomfortable? It might have got uncomfortable. How many people know what I'm talking about here? There are people that we've had to carry. There was a couple that got saved many, many years ago, and it was my role and responsibility, me and my wife's role, to look after them as new Christians. Do you know what? It was supposed to be a 6-week process. It lasted 3 years. 3 years of looking after them. And I used to pick them up every weekend for church. Used to pick them up for young adults and church. And the one day that I just got fed up with these people, I just went, you know what? It's about time they grew up. I'm not picking them up. They need to find their own way to church. I go to church, sure enough, they're not there. And I went, see? Useless. Hey, come on, folks, come on. I'm just being honest. Useless. Spoon-fed. And while I'm sitting there trying to worship God, God says, get in your car and go and pick them up. It's been 3 years, man. How much more food do I need to give them? Until I say. So I get in my car and I go and pick them up. That guy became an assistant pastor. What if I gave up? I'm not talking about giving credit to myself. I'm talking about the fact of, like, we've got to carry people again. Because some people are not at your level. And you've got to learn how to carry them again. And look after them. And pick them up. Maybe you know someone that doesn't even come to the house because you stopped picking them up. And you go, I'm fed up with them. They never even say thank you. When I take them out for supper afterwards, they always eat the most amount of pizza. And they never pay. They don't even offer to pay. They keep their wallet closed. How many people know you're going to get tested in this? But you've got to learn how to carry people again. Come on, folks. Is this making sense? And you're turning around and saying, well, that's the church's responsibility. Can I ask you a question? Who's the church? I love it when people say, you know what, Pastor, the church is not reaching out enough to lost people. Why are we worried about putting brand new curtains in this place when we could have been feeding the poor? The church should be feeding the poor. Who's the church? What you're really saying is, Pastor Ken and Chrissy, you shouldn't sell your car and go and feed the poor. That's what you're really saying. The church is you. Come on, folks. Are we okay? I love it. I'm not sure about this silence here. I just got to work it out, Pastor Ken. I'm just trying to work out whether they're going, I don't like you anymore. Well, no, you don't have to like me. You have to love me. Okay, it's a command from the Word of God, right? So the thing is, this is, I've been around for a long, long time, folks, and I can tell when people get, we've got to stir the pot on this sort of stuff there, and we've got to learn how to celebrate again. You know what? We put on these things. So I'm sure that what you're going to do at Easter is going to be absolutely amazing, but what's going to make it amazing is all of you become participators. And not come with the standard Western culture going, gee, that was really good. I should have brought someone. Tell you, man, don't you hate it when people say that? Man, that was a really good outreach program. We should have brought someone. Duh. It's like you want to come and check it out first to see if you're not embarrassed. Praise God. Are we okay? Yeah. Galatians 6, verse 1 to 2 says this: Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what I mean? We've got to learn how to carry people again. Let me tell you, we've got to learn how to carry people again. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Bring them back. Yeah. Carry them. Do whatever it takes. Go the extra mile. Jesus actually even told you to do it with people you hate. Someone slaps your cheek, turn the other cheek. Someone asks you to carry their stuff a mile, carry it 2 miles. Yeah. Someone asks for your shirt, give them your cloak also. Yeah. Did you understand? He actually said you've got to go the extra, and that's the people that you hate and despise. Yeah. How much more for someone that we genuinely should love? Yeah. Yeah. Come on, folks, does this make sense? Yeah. We've got to learn how to carry people, not to tell them what they just carry them, love on them, bring them back into the house of God. Some people are turned off because of our self-righteous attitudes towards them. We've got to stop doing that, my friend. Listen, what I realize is, but for the grace of God, But for the grace of God, I'd be a mess, man. Yeah. Let's carry on for a while. And the last part is this. It says, when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons that don't need repentance. We're going to celebrate. There's a celebration. Do you know what? Every time someone gets saved, whether it's one person or hundreds of people, we're going to rejoice. We are going to learn to rejoice again because it is the most important part. You know what I've realized is I became spiritually obese. Because all I'm doing is sitting in good messages all the time, doing nothing. I'm not exercising my faith. I'm not doing anything. My head's full of knowledge. All of a sudden, I can quote a lot of scripture. I can bring correction to people and that sort of stuff there, but I'm not exercising. I'm not doing anything with what God's been feeding me with. And I come to church every Sunday, I put in my spiritual napkin, and I go, feed me again. But all during the week, I'm doing nothing with it. And I'm becoming spiritually fat. I'm becoming spiritually obese. And I've missed what it's really all about. And I'm judging how good church is based on how good the sermon was. Oh, the praise and worship. I didn't get anything out of the praise and worship today. Yeah, I might give in the offering this week, but it's a bit tight. Yeah, I'll put my hand up. I've got a prayer request. Yeah, come on. Who's going to pray for me? Man, I only have one hand on my chest. Last week, I had four hands. And we begin to rate the service. Yeah, the message was okay. He sweated a lot. He yelled every now and again. You know, I'm not sure about it. It woke me up when I was meditating. Yeah, I don't know whether I rate that sermon that much, you know. And we go off and we do our checklist and we miss the whole point of it. Yes. Number one, church was to glorify God, to worship Him. You're not supposed to get anything out of praise and worship. Praise and worship was never designed for you. Yes. Well, that song makes me feel good. Well, God's going, I'm so happy for you. It's wonderful. But it's supposed to be for me. Yes. For me, God. Right? And then everything else, right in the sermon. No, God's saying, why do you need another sermon when you're doing nothing but the one you learned last week? Come on, man. Come on, folks, listen. It's like the people that buy gym equipment for their household and it's just become a coat rack. Oh, jeepers. That's so much fun, right? Somebody going, oh, flip. Did he see my house? No, it's just a standard. We rate our services instead of understanding that the whole point of it is to bring people into a revelation of Jesus Christ. That people, it's an opportunity for people to get saved. It's an opportunity to bring people in here that have never heard what you take for granted. All they know about Jesus Christ is it's a good swear word. That he's some joker that died on a cross, maybe. That he shares the throne with Father Christmas on the 25th of December. I don't know anything else about him. Some don't even know him. We've got a generation, a whole generation that don't even know him. Don't even recognize who is this guy? And this is what the services are about. It's about growing you closer to God and it's about drawing other people closer to him. Today in this place, this is what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate again. You know, I pray to God that when you have your Easter services, your altars are full of people giving their lives to Christ. And that you'll be able to sit there weeping because it was someone that you invited. And they came into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, I worked at Holden's when I got saved. General Motors Holden's. I was a drunkard, a druggie, and into a whole bunch of other crazy stuff. And God stood in front of me one day and said, everything you've been looking for is found in me. It's not found in a pipe. It's not found in a bottle. And it's not found in the back seat of a car. It's found in me. And he was right. And all of a sudden, I found myself wanting to keep him a secret, but I couldn't keep him a secret. I just had to tell people about him. Now, I try to make deals with God. I'm not letting anybody know I'm a Christian, man. I'm not telling anybody about you, and I'll go to church if I feel like it. But it was almost like God said, no deal. And I'd be pulling people into my welding booth, telling them about church on the weekend, scaring the life out of them because I had a reputation at Holden's, man. You don't mess with me, I'll knock you out. Now I'm pulling people and going, Jesus is real, man. And they're going, all right, if you say so. No, he's real. It wasn't called evangelism, it was called evangelism. You know what I mean? But I remember one of my closest friends, he was a modern day biker, didn't ride a Harley, he rode a Suzuki Katana 1100, super bike. Super drug dealer, super drunk. He saw a radical change in who I was. And I remember I invited him along. First time I got the courage to invite him along to church was for my baptism. So he came along to my baptism and watched me get baptized. And I remember seeing him sit in the middle of the church and he's sweating profusely, just paranoid. Why am I in a church building, man? And then he left as soon as I got baptized. And I saw him the next day at work. I said, hey, what did you think of the church service? He goes, yeah, pretty freaky, mate. Not into that stuff. He didn't say it like that. He said a lot of other expletives, you know. So I said, okay, cool, cool. And then I knew he listened to music, so then I gave him my tapes. This is how long ago, right? I mean, I've done many times before. He's not the only person I've led to the Lord, but I gave him my tapes. This is the days of Farrell and Farrell. Has anybody ever heard of Farrell and Farrell? No, only about five people. On cassettes. Had all these different, you know, different bands, and this, I think it was Petra, and all those sorts of guys, right? And so I lent him my tapes, man. And they had songs like God Give Rock and Roll. It was crazy stuff. It's just useless. Now today you listen to it go, flip, that's old. But I gave him all these tapes and he's listening to tapes and I'd see him the next week and say, what do you think of the songs? He goes, oh, they're pretty cool as long as you take out Jesus. He goes, yeah, you just take out the Jesus name and the songs are pretty cool. I went, okay, cool. Then I invited him along to church again and he came along to church a couple more times. And all of a sudden he started going, man, stuff is starting to make sense. But he still wasn't ready for change. And then I remember we'd just talk and we'd talk and we'd talk and he'd ask me more questions. He'd come into my welding booth and ask questions. We'd sit down and have these conversations. But what he was doing was watching me more and more, but I just kept on asking him. And then finally one day he comes up to me and he goes, you know what? It's going to rain on Sunday. And I said, why is it going to rain on Sunday? He said, because Satan's about to lose one of his favorite children. And he came that weekend and he gave his life to Christ. And he turned into probably one of the greatest evangelists in our factory. Because the moment he got saved, man, he's just telling everybody. Like, it almost got embarrassing. It was like, just calm down, dude. He'd be at the time going, Jesus, unbelievable, man. And I'd be going, I just walk away going, oh, my gosh, he's at it again. He just turned into this ridiculous lunatic for Jesus. He's now a pastor at a church in Elizabeth, the worst place to grow up in Australia, they say. He's a kids pastor of all things. And I remember he wrote to me not so long ago. He says, I want to thank you for never stopping asking me. Do you know what? Let me tell you, I've seen a lot of people get saved, but there's some real memorable moments of where you see, where you realize, man, it was the until. It was the just whatever it takes, man. Just relentlessly pursuing after people to see them come into the kingdom of God. Now, like I said, I find out, you know, I only found out through his Facebook that he's a kids pastor at a church, running this massive kids ministry, doing these incredible things from a modern day biker that used to be stoned off of his brain at work, drunk and abusive. I mean, just some of the language that used to come out of this guy. Now he's a kids pastor, leading hundreds of kids into the presence of God. We just got to get that passion again for the one. Amen. I know I've preached long, please forgive me, but let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.